Smell the con? A card shark who can also play the wire game.
Your boss is quite a card player, Mr. Kelly. How does he do it?
He cheats.
A secretary of state who plays the world on WMD.
Saddam Hussein and his regime are concealing their efforts to produce more weapons of mass destruction.
And gets played by his own intelligence services. Determining the real and the play in all facets of life can be a dangerous calculation. It can fleece your wallet and rock you to your foundation. One of you in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was conned by the builder and architect for my home. Turns out they did not build the foundation properly, and the engineers now say I have to tear it down and start over. I'm too trusting. It simply never occurred to me that they would be lying.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
We put in place the toughest financial reform package since FDR and the Great Depression.
We want to believe. We don't have all the information, and we are not in positions of power, except collectively in the voting booth. But that's also how we are the most vulnerable to being conned. So on the day of what should be a completely authentic, visionary, forward-looking, feel-good State of the Union address, Barack Obama isn't running for anything this time, it's his last, we decided to speak to New Yorker writer and journalist Maria Konnikova, author of The Confidence Game, Why We Fall for It Every Time, which is out today. She warns, check your emotions at the door if you're going to play the game and not get gamed.
Emotion is the best friend of the con artist, because emotion and logical reasoning are kind of opposed, in the sense that when you're governed by emotion, you stop really listening to logic because you start wanting to believe, because you're hot as opposed to cool and rational. And so what con artists do is they reel you in with a really compelling story that will really get at your emotions. And this can be a sob story. There was one con artist I write about, Samantha as a party, who pretends to be a victim of sex trafficking, which is just so horrific. I mean, everyone wants to help her. Everyone becomes emotionally involved.
Yeah, you're not going to find people who say, you know, stop whining and
exactly.
We just have dinner. Yeah,
exactly. People stop questioning.
Yeah.
They no longer are looking at the facts. Does her story add up? They say, oh, my God, this poor girl. But it can also be really, really positive. There's another guy who I found absolutely fascinating who told the story of a buried treasure that Sir Francis Drake, presumably after he died, left these vast amounts of money. But no one was ever able to have it because he had an illegitimate heir, because that heir was the son of Queen Elizabeth herself. Mm. And this is just such a story of intrigue over the centuries that people were also really, really just invested in it emotionally. And what happened was, for decades, he strung them along on this Drake treasure hunt, and they kept giving him money because the bottom line, he said, was that there was a legal battle. It was embroiled in a lot of red tape, but it was just a matter of time before they all became millionaires.
The prototype for the internet scams.
Absolutely.
The emotional dimension and the mechanisms of the confidence game mm-hmm. seem to be very brainstem or small brain. But technology, you know, while not needed to carry off the scam, in fact, it drives it in the modern era. They're all tools for confidence artists.
Absolutely. Technology, we think it makes us more sophisticated. We think it protects us. What it's actually doing is giving the con artist the playground of his dreams. Because think about social networks, for instance. Think about how much information you leave on Facebook every single time you use it. A con artist knows your friends. If you check into places, by the way, public tip, never check into places, because then a con artist knows where you go, what your habits are, what types of restaurants you like. He knows your buying preferences. It's so easy to look up history of eBay, for instance, or Amazon wish lists if they're not private.
And basically to develop a conversation piece that basically binds you to that person.
Exactly. And all of a sudden you trust this person because you like this person, because you feel that you're similar to this person. So obviously it's a good person.
You know, in this book I was struck by how many cons there are that are financial and that, you know, grasp at people who are emotionally vulnerable. But there's no con that seems to have had a sort of terrorist mission. For instance, you would think that people trying to infiltrate into, you know, the United States, mm-hmm. for instance, would use some of these mechanisms. Either they haven't, or it doesn't work that way, or it's just better suited to financial things that I guess are so innocent until you realize that your money is gone.
Well, I think that there's an exception to that. I think a lot of spy techniques use a lot of the same emotional vulnerability. If you look at some of the best spies in history, a lot of them were women. A lot of them infiltrated themselves into romantic relationships with prominent men in order to glean information from them. And they built these lies over years, over decades. I mean, these were just identities that took over their lives. So in a sense, that's how imposters operate. So I think we can draw that connection where the same tools of emotional manipulation can be used to actually gain the trust of people in a country you're trying to infiltrate.
The classic con is they never really even know that they've been scammed.
That's absolutely right. So when people ask me, have you been scammed? I honestly say, I don't know. Because the best con, you will think that you just got unlucky. And what was fascinating to me was how many people fall for this exact same scam multiple times because they never realize it's a scam.
Do you think politics is a long con in some ways? Do these techniques work for politicians?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's a very thin line between things that we think of as legitimate professions, politics, advertising, marketing, and people who we see as con men. And to me, the line is really a question of intention. Are you someone who's willingly deceiving people for your own gains, for your own ends? Are you, telling a false story? Or are you using these techniques, but you're being transparent in the sense that you're not actively trying to deceive. And once again, the lines are blurred. I think there are some politicians who would probably be bona fide con artists as well.
Well, who could pull off the better con, just thinking in terms of personality? Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or someone like Donald Trump?
Honestly, I think someone like Barack Obama would probably be the best able to do it because we believe him. Someone like Donald Trump, we're not going to believe much of what he says. Someone like Hillary Clinton, a lot of people, I love her. A lot of people distrust her because she's female. And so I think Barack Obama is one of the few people who could get away with it. And we wouldn't know what had happened. Now, someone who really pulled off a con, Eliot Spitzer.
Right.
So we have a real life politician who also happened, he was a crusader in the exact realm that he was himself involved in.
Although Spitzer didn't become governor so he could go see hookers.
No, he didn't.
I guess the question is how much of the confidence, I'm not defending Eliot Spitzer, thank you very much. How much of the confidence of someone like Donald Trump drives his power as a politician, do you think?
So much. And one of the things that Donald Trump does have in common with con artists is this massive streak of narcissism, which all con artists have in a certain way, because you have to not just be the center of your own universe, but think that you deserve all of these things and that you're entitled to them. Mm. And that allows you to take advantage of people because you don't see it as taking advantage. You see it as getting what's yours.
Well, having this expertise, does give you a power. And I realized that one before I was a journalist, I used to design nuclear weapons. And, it was amazing. I mean, you'd design these nuclear weapons and people would go, astounding, and then you'd make it and you'd see it detonated, and you don't believe anything I'm saying, right?
Oh, I believe everything you're saying. Of course you were detonating nuclear weapons. I think I was there with you at the test site.
I was trying so hard to con you. Maria Konnikova is the author of The Confidence Game, Why We Fall For It Every Time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.